This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
Job chapter 42, verse 12 to 13. When you have it, say amen. The word of God says, "So the Lord blessed," the Lord what? "The latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses," that's donkeys. "He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." For the next few moments, let's consider the message entitled Halftime. Halftime. Bow your heads with me now. Father, speak to my heart now. Speak to my heart now like only you can, God. Speak to our hearts on this last Sabbath of 2025. Encourage us in this place as we prepare for this new year. Here's our prayer in Jesus' name, of the church said amen. Amen. And amen. 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 Elders, can one of you hand me my towel? I left it down there. Thank you. Halftime. Thank you. Brother says, "I remember like it was yesterday." But it was December the 17th, 2022. And the Indianapolis Colts, that's a football team, were visiting my favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. And for all those in attendance and all those watching the game on television, no one knew that they were about to witness the greatest comeback in NFL history. Now, I didn't get to watch the game live, but I was able to go back and watch the rebroadcast, having already known what the outcome was. But even knowing the outcome of the game, yet I still could not believe how bad my team played in the first half. I'm sitting there frustrated, even though I know my team has already won. All kinds of mistakes were made, uncharacteristic mistakes that they did not normally make, yet they were making them on this day to the extent that by the time they reached halftime, the score was 33-0 in favor of the Indianapolis Colts. For those who don't know much about American football, that's considered a blowout. That's considered a major blowout at the end of the game, and this is only the first half. There's still 2 quarters. So many people, I would imagine, stopped watching the game at halftime because they thought that it was over. So many people who had, as I'm watching the game, the rebroadcast, I'm seeing so many people who had spent their hard-earned money, many who even traveled from long and great distances hoping to see and watch a great game, they were now leaving at halftime because they thought the game was over. And speaking of things being over, sometimes in life, we go through moments or seasons where it seems like or where it feels like everything is over. Where our world feels like it's crumbling or falling apart. In the Bible, I think of the story of Job. You remember Job, right? Job was just minding his own business, living his life. And might I say, Job, brother Job, he was doing well in life until out of nowhere, he lost it all. This is how the story goes. The Bible says, there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the adversary, showed up. He always showing up where he don't got no business being. The Lord asked him where he came from, and Satan replied, from going to and fro up and down the earth. And God said to Satan in Job chapter 1 verse 8, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil? Stop right there. Brothers and sisters, the first thing we find here that's important to note is that what Job, remember now, we have the ability to now read the story, knowing what the outcome is. Understand, Job is living through this in real time. And the first thing we find here that's important to note is that what Job is about to experience has nothing to do with Job. Job didn't ask for it. He didn't bring it upon himself. And the point is this, brothers and sisters, there are some seasons we go through in life. There are some obstacles that we face along the journey that have absolutely nothing to do with us. It's not about anything you've done right or wrong. It's just life. The ordeal that Job is about to experience, the season he is about to go through, started simply because God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you taken a look at him? If nothing else, it's a testament of the faith that God had in Job. But watch this now. So Satan responds. And brothers and sisters, and immediately you see that he is well aware of who Job is. He says, look at how you blessed him. But I guarantee you, God, if you take it all away from him, he will curse you to your face. So God says to Satan, you can take away what he has, but don't physically touch him. Immediately, Job's losses occurred in rapid succession. The first wave was loss of livestock and servants. While his oxen were plowing and donkeys grazing, Sabians attacked, stealing the animals and killing the servants. Only one servant escaped to inform Job. The second wave was loss of sheep and more servants. Immediately after the first messenger, another arrived, reporting that the fire of God, probably lightning, fell from the sky, burning up Job's sheep, and additional servants, and again, only one escaped. Then a third wave came. The third wave was loss of camels and more servants. A third messenger quickly followed, stating that the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, swept down on Job's camels, and killed more servants, with only one surviving to tell the story. And if that was not bad enough, then came a fourth wave, the loss of all his children. The most devastating blow came with the fourth messenger, who reported that a mighty wind from the desert struck the house where Job's seven sons and three daughters were feasting, causing it to collapse and kill them all. So Job, in essence, has lost his fortune. He has lost his wealth because all of his animals, all of his lifestyle represented his fortune. and he lost all of his children. After all of this, the Bible says that Job still worshiped. And after everything, he sinned not. Satan returns again. This time accusing that Job only stood faithful because he did not touch him. But if he touched him physically, Job would surely curse God to his face. God responds to Satan again, this time saying, you can't attack his body, but you can't take his life. Job was struck with painful sores from head to toe, forcing him to sit among ashes and scrape himself with pottery shards for relief. This illness included darkened and peeling skin and maggot-infested sores. During this time, Job even lost marital support. Job's wife urged him to curse God and die, adding to his emotional distress. But notice, brothers and sisters, that no matter the losses, no matter what he went through, yet Satan was only permitted to do to him what God allowed. What God permitted, reminding us that God was ultimately in control. And likewise, no matter what you are going through today, no matter what you've been through this year, just know that God is still in control, and the enemy can only do to you what God is willing to permit, because God knows what you can handle, and God is with you. And let me just tell you, this is not how the story ends. You see, remember today, we're talking about halftime. And I mentioned that my favorite team played arguably the worst half, first half of a game ever. They were down 33-0 in the first half. Likewise, this season that Job is going through has been the worst half he's ever been through. He's not just losing a score, but he has literally lost just about everything. The only thing he has left is four servants who only survived so they could tell Job what happened. And he has a wife, but she's angry with him, and he's still alive, but he's living with loss of life and in a lot of pain. Most of his friends have left, and the only three who showed up, we at least appreciate the fact that they tried to show up for Job. They are not helping the situation. And to top it off, Job is crying out to God, but he does not seem to be getting an answer. And it's just the first half. But thank God for halftime. You see, now the purpose of halftime is to give the players an opportunity to rest and regroup. They are able to catch their breath and relax. It's an opportunity to refuel and hydrate, as well as treat all kinds of injuries. You see, there's a lot of stuff that can happen in the first half. Plays don't go the right way. A lot of penalties can happen. Unexpected injuries take place. The game plan may not seem to be working the way you drew it up. So halftime is really something that is valuable to many players and coaches because they need that break to regroup. Likewise in life, the first half of life or the first half of a season in your life doesn't always go the way we want it to go. We live in a sin-plagued world, and yes, along this journey called life, we have some good days, we have some high moments and enjoyable occasions, but just like in Job's story, this life is also filled with a lot of misery, a lot of pain, bad decisions, and unfavorable results. We each have our share of losses and unexpected outcomes. There are sicknesses and diseases that can seem to come out of nowhere, accidents that happen. And yes, there is the reality that some of this misery and pain is self-inflicted because of bad decisions and choices. But yet there is a lot that we experience in this first half of life or in the first half of this season that you're just left feeling confused. We're left with questions. Why? Why? And in the case of my favorite football team, you enter halftime feeling dejected and defeated. And as 2025 is coming to a close, for somebody here, it's felt like a really bad first half. Nothing's gone right for you this year. You've had some unexpected losses. You've dealt with some grief, maybe even depression. This year has been filled with one bad move after another. You've experienced setbacks, failures. Some marriages didn't survive this year. You buried some loved ones with some of the losses coming out of nowhere. Some of us watch from a distance as our families live through a hurricane and other natural disasters where we've lost property, homes have been destroyed, and now you have to start all over. But as this year is coming to a close, and even though you may still be in a certain season of life that has been complicated and stressful, yet I declare, brothers and sisters, as we're coming upon a new year, that the first half has ended. And now it's halftime. And another great thing, brothers and sisters, about halftime is that it's an opportunity to make necessary adjustments. You see, as a team analyzes what went wrong in the first half, they're able to make adjustments to the game plan to put a winning formula together for the second half. And that's what happened to my Minnesota Vikings. They made the greatest comeback in NFL history. In the first half, they were down 33-0. But in the second half, they outscored the Indianapolis Colts 39-3 to win the game 39-36. All because they made the necessary adjustments at halftime. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, that calls for calling some new and different plays. Sometimes that means making some substitutions. If some players aren't performing well, you take them out of the game and put in a new player. You see, sometimes in life, we end up stuck and delayed in certain seasons because we don't make the necessary adjustments at halftime. And we come back in the second half continuing to do the same things we did in the first half. I'm trying to help someone. Listen, as we enter into 2026, we can't go into 2026 doing some of the same stuff we did in 2025. There needs to be some adjustments. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. Some people call that insanity. There needs to be some substitutions. In 2026. What am I trying to say? Everybody that's been with you in 2025 don't need to go with you into 2026. Maybe they are the cause of some of the setbacks that you've had in this season. Maybe they are delaying your progress, holding you back. Maybe the reason you haven't found the husband or wife you desire is because you'll never find a permanent person in your life if you continue to entertain and date temporary people. The second half is coming, and I'm declaring a comeback. I'm declaring a comeback. But you have to make the necessary adjustments while at halftime. You see, it's not always easy making in-game adjustments, but right now is the perfect time. It's halftime. And in Job's case, he made adjustments. I'm not just making this up. It's right here in the Word. In Job's case, he made adjustments. You see, after God finally spoke to Job, Job responds in chapter 42, verse 5 and 6 and says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Where I abhor myself, don't miss this, where I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is Job, a man who has followed God. But as he's gone through this season, this first half, and all that he's experienced, when God speaks, he says, I have heard of you by hearing, but now I see you, God. In other words, now he's gone to a deeper place in his spiritual walk with God. And by seeing God more, and by seeing God more clearly, it caused Job to truly see himself more clearly. And that's why he says, I abhor myself. And watch, brothers and sisters, he made the necessary adjustments. Once he saw himself, he said, now I truly repent in dust and ashes. Don't miss what's happening. At the beginning, it did not make sense. Job was just minding his own business. Why would God just throw his name out there to Satan and put him on the enemy's radar? God, why did you set him up for all of these attacks and losses? God, you set him up for that horrible first half. But while Job was not a bad man, yet through his ordeal, he finally truly saw God and saw himself. And in the end, it caused him to repent and truly seek after God's face. When you understand, then you begin to see the sovereignty of God and the fact that he allowed Job to go through this season, this first half, not because he was trying to destroy Job, but because he was trying to develop, trying to take him deeper in faith. And the good news is, God was in control the entire time, because the adversary could only do to Job what God allowed. You can take the things around him, but you can't touch him. You can touch him, but you can't take his life. The adversary could attack Job, but he was limited in what he could do to him.
The adversary has attacked you, but understand, I know it's been hard. It's been trying. You felt like giving up, but the reason you survived this year, the reason you survived this season is because he's been limited in what he could do to you. He wanted to take your life, but you're still here. He wanted to break you completely, but while you've been broken in some places, you're not completely broken up. God is still in control, and just like Job, he's trying to develop you and me, trying to take us deeper. And the result has been some rough first halves. It's been a rough year. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's been a rough season, but as this year is coming to an end, we are declaring this season is going to come to an end. And now, while we're at halftime, let's rest for a moment and make the necessary adjustments as we get ready for the second half. And just like my Minnesota Vikings, after halftime, made the greatest comeback in NFL history, Job also made a great comeback. His story didn't end in the first half. His story didn't end at halftime, but there was a second half. And Job chapter 42, verse 12 and 13 tells us about that second half. The Bible says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." And verse 16 and 17 says, "After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." After halftime, in the second half, after all that Job had gone through, God blessed him with double for his trouble. And it's halftime in your experience right now, but as the new year is coming, so is your second half, and I declare that it will be better than the first half. Your season is turning around. This second half will be a victorious half because we serve a victorious God. You're about to make a comeback, so hang in there. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In this second half, there'll be restoration, confirmation, jubilation, accumulation, affirmation. In this second half, there'll be rejuvenation, certification, justification, expectation, relaxation. In this second half, there'll be expiration, elevation, exclamation, exoneration, compensation, and best of all, there'll be salvation. So keep pressing on, keep going forward, don't give up, and don't quit, but press on. The songwriter says, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I thank God for higher ground. And one of these days we'll reach the highest ground." The songwriter says, "Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in," I said, "join in a sweet accord And thus around the throne, we're marching. I said we're marching. We're marching. We're marching to Zion. That beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. That beautiful city of God. Will you keep marching? Will you keep pressing on? Your comeback will be better. The second half is starting right now. Hallelujah in this place. Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is still in charge. Hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, you got to say to yourself, it's over. This first half is over. It's halftime. And the second half is coming. And I don't say that to you today, brothers and sisters, having any insider information. That God has told me your season is turning around. But I can declare it today because I know we walk by faith. And you got to, that's the God we, kind of God we serve. And we walk by faith. You got to declare it for yourself. It's over. And just like Job did. Then through the power of God, you got to make the necessary adjustments. At halftime. And it's halftime right now. I just believe there's someone here today. Who God made sure that you are in this place physically. Or could be even that you're tuning in at this time. It's a snow day. The time of service was changed. Your regular routine was thrown off, but you are intentional to be here even in the virtual space. But God brought you, whether in person or virtual, here for this moment because he needed you to hear this word as we end this year. And you got to declare it, my first half is over. It's halftime. I'm going to get the rest I need. And through the power of God, make the adjustments I need. And I'm all, as 2026 begins, I'm walking into the second half. And just like my favorite team made the greatest comeback ever, you're going to make a comeback. You're going to make a comeback. If you believe that today, I'm going to invite you to come out of your seat. I want to pray this special prayer over you tonight, today.
And you're going to make 2026 is your year. And you're going to make the comeback. This next year will be different. And for someone, it will be the best year. And brothers and sisters, I hope you didn't miss a crucial point of something I said in this message today. Because some of us may read the story of Job and look at God with a side eye. How you just pick him? Job just minded his own business. How you just pick him to lose all of that? But now you understand God allowed it. He chose him for that moment because he was taking him deeper. And just know that there is nothing that you're going through right now that seems to have come out of nowhere, that God just randomly chose you to go through. But there's something that you're learning. There's something that he's teaching us through it. And watch this. And even in those seasons and moments where we do bring stuff upon us because of bad decisions and choices, yet God is still working it out for our good. And he's going to turn it around in your favor. Brothers and sisters, with God, we cannot lose. We have some ups, we have some downs, we go through tough seasons, but if you stay with God, in the end, you will win. We've come too far to turn back now. And so I'm going to pray now. But we're going to make this appeal. First to my online audience, whoever you are. There's a link in the chat. Maybe there's someone who's heard this message. You need to surrender your life to God. You need to go all the way with him. You need to finish this year off on the right note. And on this last Sabbath, you can say yes to Jesus. You can say, God, I'm ready. It's halftime. I'm going to make the necessary adjustments. I'm ready for my second half. The most important adjustment I need to make is to get right with you. I need to come back to you. Maybe you need to return. Maybe you need to come to him for the first time. And you're tuning in now. There's a link in the chat. Click on that link. You can make your decision. It'll send a card to us and we'll be in contact with you. But now to those who are in this place, the same goes for us here. It's not enough to just desire to be better, to do things the right way. But too often we continue doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. But in order to get where God is trying to take us, there are times when we have to make the necessary adjustments. We're hoping that in this 40-day fast, it'll be a time where of spiritual growth and maturity where we're able to make adjustments. But even now, there's someone in this place, and you maybe have come down to the altar. Maybe that adjustment for you on this last Sabbath of 2025, the adjustment you need to make is saying, Lord, I want to go all the way with you. I'm going to surrender my life to you. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you've started coming back to church, but you have not really made a full commitment to him. There's no better way to start your second half on the right foot than if you're in this place now. And you need to make the adjustment by saying, Lord, I want to come back to you. Maybe that means Bible study and baptism, whatever it is. Now is your time to make that decision. You're here. If you're in the front, just raise that hand. We have elder stationed
We'll give you a card to fill out. We want to acknowledge you in this place. Before we pray, if you're here, just raise your hand. Wherever you are. Is there one? I see a hand. Can someone make their way, Elder? Is there another? Is there another? Just raise that hand before we pray. Is there another? How you believe Jesus saves? I believe he'll make the difference in your life. Try him today. Before we pray. Say, my first half is ending just as 2025 is ending. I'm in halftime. But my second half will begin just as 2026 is right around the corner. You hear? Just raise that hand. This last call and I'll pray. Last call and I'll pray. Last call and I'll pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, because we needed this word today. We needed to hear from you, God. Some of us, God, may have come into the house of God today. Some of us may have turned on YouTube, Facebook, to watch this service. Feeling uneasy about 2026. Feeling like it's going to be just like 2025. It's not worse. Because we've been struggling in our first half. But we declare today, God, that we walk by faith. And today, God, we declare it's halftime. And Father, we ask that you give us the rest we need now. And help us to make the necessary adjustments. To make the necessary adjustments. We know we can't do it ourselves, God. Give us the strength. Lead us by the hand, God. Make the necessary adjustments we need so that we can walk in newness of life this second half. You see those, God, who've come down to the altar. You see my sister who has made her decision. I'm praying even now, God, for those online who are even now making decisions. I don't know who they are, but we'll receive their cards in just a short while. But may each of us, God, walk in newness of life after this moment, trusting and believing in you, knowing, God, that just like you did in Job, that you're ultimately in control. You're not letting us go through things for no reason, and the enemy, no matter what he does, God, he can only do to us what you have allowed, what you permit, and you will not let more be put on us, God, than we can handle. You're there with us every step of the way. And we thank you. And we thank you in advance for what's going to happen to us in 2026 as we start this second half. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.